You open your eyes. Your head is groggy, your vision blurry, and you begin to cobble together exactly what you did the night before. Now, I'm not saying that having a wedding is like having a hangover per se, but there are some parallels for sure. By now, you're likely sick of hearing people tell you to make sure you enjoy your big day, that it all goes by so quickly. But that cliche exists for a reason. After all those months of decision-making and budget balancing, your big day arrives like a tornado. It sweeps you up in the moment, and before you know it, it spits you back out on the other side of holy matrimony. Like Kaiser Soze shaking off his limp, whew, your wedding day is gone, relegated to your memories, a set of photos, and your friends' Instagram feeds. It's an intense experience, one of the most powerful and discombobulating ones life has to offer. And a lot of times, couples wake up the day after their wedding and wonder, what just happened? That's the title of today's episode, and for this installment of Engaged and Confused, we're shaking things up a little bit. There are no expert guests joining me to chat, and instead, we have Elizabeth and Gavin, an awesome couple who just got married. Like, just got married. It hasn't even been 2 weeks since their wedding date. Since they're so fresh off their wedding adventure, I thought it might be fascinating to get their just-out-of-the-oven perspective on the entire process and their wedding day in particular. What was awesome? What went according to plan? What freaked them out? Would they change anything? Elizabeth and Gavin, welcome, you sweet newlyweds.
Hello.
Hi.
You're still here. Good. Okay, so first of all, congratulations. Does this whole marriage thing even seem real yet? Are you still weirded out about being husband and wife?
I don't think so. I think we're having a lot of fun with it. In fact, we are wearing a hubby and wifey t-shirt right now for those of you who can't physically see us.
Super adorable, by the way.
Yeah, I think if anything, we're really just having a lot of fun and just enjoying being in the moment and really just having fun with our relationship.
You mentioned when you said hello that it still feels kind of surreal too. How's that aspect of it?
So right now, it doesn't quite feel like we're married, so to speak, because it's so fresh. I mean, the day went by so quickly that we can't quite recall it, but we still can. It's like right there. And it still feels like we're planning for something, but we're not. We're in this kind of weird parallel universe lull, so to speak.
It's like when you graduated from college years ago, but you wake up in the middle of the night having that nightmare where you forgot to study for your final exam. Like, you wake up, you're like, oh, wait, no, it's over. I already did it. I'm done. It's interesting because we obviously talk to a lot of couples during the planning process and then afterward, and we hear a lot of different responses from them. Sometimes they feel something along the lines of this sort of postpartum sadness where they've been carrying this idea of a wedding around in their head for months or sometimes even years, and then suddenly it's just over. And on the other end of the spectrum, you know, we've had couples who have this outstanding time and they love every second of their wedding day and they just wish they could like dive back in and do everything all over again. So it's kind of curious to see how everybody responds in their own unique way. And I'm guessing that part of that has to do with expectations, both the external ones, the pressure couples feel from family and from friends, but also the internal expectations of what their day has to be like. So I'm curious, what were your expectations for your own wedding?
I think mine was that I really wanted to have a wedding that felt nothing like a wedding. I really feel like a lot of my expectations were around making sure that not only did Gavin and I have a great day, but our guests had a great day, and that there wasn't too much structure or rigorous tradition or things that would take away from us telling our story. And so I think a lot of, whether it's the stress or pressure or expectation from my perspective, was how to compete against an industry built around tradition and built around certain expectations and criteria and trying to do the polar opposite and still have a fabulous day.
Wow, that's really well put.
What she said.
Yeah, and you know, there are a bunch of reasons why I wanted to invite the two of you specifically to be on the podcast. One is obviously that you're both just genuinely kind and excited people, and we got to know you pretty well before your wedding because you came to some parties we threw and had a couple of photo sessions with us. But another big one was that the two of you did a fantastic job of owning your wedding, of making it really yours. You had your favorite empanada spot do your catering, which was a stroke of brilliance, and one of those small but super memorable details that we're big fans of. Your venue was sort of an off-the-beaten-path choice. You had some really cool touches with your footwear and having live jazz as part of the celebration. So I'm curious, given all of that, what are the things that come back to mind first when you look back on your wedding day? What are the big moments or remembrances that you're taking with you?
Well, when she walked down the aisle on the side, it just seeing her there for the first time walking down, that's a moment I'll remember forever. And especially her little thing at the end, because it was a steep hill, whenever she said, "Yay, I made it!" And everybody just started laughing.
So, Elizabeth, you were worried about taking a tumble there in front of everybody.
Yes, yeah. So at our venue, the ceremony was kind of built like a natural amphitheater. And the hill was almost like a grassy knoll. And there were no steps. And you really just kind of had to go with it. And it was a lot steeper than I had remembered when I had walked down it in tennis shoes, but in high-heeled flip-flops, it was probably a much more treacherous walk than I anticipated. Oh, no. And for those who know me, I am probably one of Colorado's best and finest klutzes. I can trip over anything. And so I was already mentally preparing myself for the inevitable fall that was coming. And when I didn't, I was actually shocked. I was quite stunned when I had made it all the way down this hill, literally without even a trip.
I think everybody shared in your victory there.
Yes.
That's kind of an interesting little random pro tip, is if you're getting married outside, maybe walk it with the shoes that you will actually be wearing.
Yes. Don't go out in your tennis shoes or your Uggs and think it's all just going to be sunshine and rainbows. Test the heels.
Yeah. You know, something I really love about Gavin's response there too is that most memorable moment, it's something that really is just about the two of you, right? It's about seeing each other and having that moment, and you could have gotten married in an abandoned warehouse and probably would have had some version of that. And I think that that's a good sort of idea to keep in mind, which is that ultimately your wedding is about the two of you. It's about celebrating your love, and all the decisions you make are obviously really important, but they're also sort of incidental to the reason that all of this is happening. That's a really sweet moment. Let's switch tracks and think about, you know, especially given the amount of planning that goes into a wedding, it's hard to come out not wanting to have done some things differently. Earlier today, I Googled wedding regrets, and there were about 8.5 million results. So I did some sleuthing there, and they seem to fall into a few categories. For instance, a common one is overspending on a wedding cake, which you two didn't even need because you had those righteous dessert empanadas. And another super common one, and I swear I am not making this up, is that couples regret not budgeting more to have a better photographer. So let me just say, yeah, obviously. Do you have any items like that? Maybe you wish your guest count had been different, or you hadn't had so much to drink the night before, or you hadn't taken so much of other people's input into the planning process. What would you change, if anything?
In all honesty, I was really impressed with how things came together. I think, again, it's because we really weren't trying to stick to traditions or, you know, formal activities or events that happen at weddings. We were really trying to tell our story, which I hope it's okay for me to say this, but hint, hint, wink, wink, from the hip photo, best advice I've ever had, plus their phenomenal photographers. Anyway, they kind of saved us from what could have been regrets, because I remember when we were even just first interviewing photographers and really just trying to get a feel for who we would use, because that was an important thing to us, was find someone that's going to help tell your story. Someone who's going to want to be a part of what you care about, and the things you don't care about isn't going to get wrapped up in those things when it's not what you care about. And so I think we did a really good job of, you know, we didn't want a cake, and so we weren't going to budget for one, but we were going to come up with a creative way to do it differently. And we didn't want to have a sit-down formal dinner because we didn't want people waiting for us. You know, people are hungry. Like, go eat. Don't wait for us. Just eat. Be merry. Have fun. And so I, in all honesty, from a planning perspective, because we were so wrapped up in making it personal and making it about us and not trying to follow guidelines from magazines or blogs or, you know, whatever you find on the internet, I personally feel like that's where we crushed it.
Indeed, we definitely did. There's one thing, though, that they don't tell you that you should actually pay attention to, and it's the groom. The groom doesn't actually get all of the respect that he deserves on the day.
Interesting.
So I when I arrived there, I was supposed to arrive somewhere around 1 o'clock, and then there was, unbeknownst to me, the whole issue going on in the dressing room. And I got stuck sitting outside waiting for 20 minutes, and I had no communication, no access to know anything about this because I didn't have someone that was there to talk to me or guide me through what I was supposed to do. So having that guidance, having I guess you could say my own little entourage to run back and forth and find out where I'm supposed to be, that is one of the things that I would do differently.
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting point. And I think part of that is, you know, we'll kind of come back to this later, the idea that, you know, maybe it sounds like a generalization, but in my experience, it's true, that grooms tend to be less a part of the wedding planning process. Not saying that about you specifically, Gavin, but so there is this tendency on the wedding day to cater toward the bride, but the bride is already the one usually who knows what's going on. She's, you know, she's mapped everything out and she's got the agenda locked in her brain. So that's a really fascinating thing to hear, and also makes me think about, you know, for our listeners, maybe thinking very deliberately about how do you make, especially that early part of the day, how do you make that more of a luxurious experience for the groom? There's a lot of pampering that happens over on the ladies' side. And, you know, we see it all the time. The groom is kind of like shoved into a closet somewhere, like, don't come out for 2 hours. So that's really interesting to hear. Here's one from my list that maybe seems more conceptual, but it pops up a lot in these post-wedding debriefings that we have with couples. I'd estimate that approximately 0% of couples plan enough time for the two of them to be together away from everybody else on their wedding day. And I think it's amazing how even 5 minutes simply being together as a couple away from all the madness can be this really positive centering experience. It's like the wedding day equivalent of taking a deep breath. So I'm not sure if the two of you had a moment to yourselves, but it's hard. It's hard to be on all day in front of all those guests and your photographer, and if you've got a videographer and everybody else who's assembled there. I guess a different take on the same sort of question might be, was there an area where you two overthought things or where the deliberation process was actually more complicated than it needed to be?
I'll own it. He's giving me a look for those of you who can't see it. So I, because of my career, like, I am a hyper planner. So I already can micromanage the heck out of events because that's what I do every single day. And so when it came to planning my wedding, it was inevitable that the closer we got day by day, I started freaking out about the competency of anybody who was going to be asked to do anything, and that I didn't budget myself enough time to actually spend 2 hours at the venue before the wedding started to walk the whole thing and go fix everything that I was going to find wrong.
And you had a coordinator, right?
And I had a wedding coordinator with 3 assistants and 4 girls. You know, we didn't have a wedding party, so I didn't have bridesmaids who had to get ready. You know, I had plenty of ladies readily available to help with things, but just because of who I am, Gavin remembers many a night of me overthinking and overstressing over the competency of people who clearly are capable of doing their job. It's just that's I couldn't help but be myself.
Well, it's hard when it's your wedding, right? You want to make sure that everything is on track.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a potential peril to not having a bridal party, is that in another scenario, they might be putting a drink in your hand and like shoving you back onto a sofa or something. I don't know. Like, no, Elizabeth, you can't come back.
Yeah.
Apart from marrying the spouse who's currently seated next to you, what would you say were the best wedding planning decisions or decision that you made?
Yeah. First look, genius idea. It kind of goes back to carving out time for just the two of you.
Sure.
You know, what I really love about what Ashley and Nina did, who are our photographers through From the Hip Photo, name drop, is that we got to have a first look together. But before it started being about the pictures and, you know, pose this way, put your hand here, tilt your chin that way, I think they gave us 5 minutes. It felt like 5 minutes. In fact, it almost even felt like a lifetime to just breathe together. And I mean, I remember when Gavin came over and he was seeing me for the first time and I turned around and he said, "You look like an angel." It was just the most beautiful moment. And I remember, you know, he tried to, you know, he was going to give me a kiss and I said, don't give me a kiss. But he gave me this really soft, gentle hug and we were cheek to cheek. And that will be kind of like Gavin remembering me coming down the aisle to him will last him a lifetime. I mean, that first look, those moments that we had together, just enjoying each other and seeing it all come together as the two of us. And, you know, Gavin's really gorgeous suit and my beautiful dress. It just was such a, it was a beautiful moment in time.
Yeah.
And that I am so grateful that we did a first look. That was probably some of the best advice we had.
That's super sweet. And again, you know, I'm struck by sort of the unscripted nature of the most memorable moments too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says a lot about the two of you and sort of your priorities and where your head is. Very cool. I mentioned this earlier. We just talked about the wedding coordinator. I know that you worked with somebody to kind of help finish up the planning and assist on your wedding day. And I'm curious, with your self-professed hyper-planner personality, in the end, how helpful was that to bring a coordinator on board?
Extremely. I would, even somebody who plans things for a living, someone who feels like they're an expert in that kind of planning space or event space, you know, Chelsea, who was our lead coordinator, was a godsend. She just was able to deal with things that I hadn't even thought of. And, you know, I know a lot of couples really think that they don't need a coordinator, especially for a lot of the upfront things. You know, they already have an idea of their vision and theme and the vendors they want to go with. But day of, I mean, the best example I can give is an example that I didn't even hear about until after the wedding. It was almost, a couple days later, maybe even a week after the wedding, is that our caterer, who had never really catered a wedding before, this was new space, their catering truck broke down on the highway.
Oh, wow.
And so Chelsea and her crew hopped in a vehicle, met them on the highway, did an exchange of food, and they got it there, and no one even knew what had happened. And it went off without a hitch. Had we not had a coordinator, we wouldn't have had food. There would have been no food.
No food at all.
And that in itself, I mean, that one little thing, which really could have been a monstrosity.
Sure.
She was worth her weight in gold. But on top of that, it was even just, you know, her approach of, you know, the week before the wedding, sending out correspondence to all of our vendors saying, "Hey, you know, I'm now your contact. If you need anything, if little details come up, you know, I'm your person. If we've got a last minute payment snafu that came up, still contact me first. I can get you paid." It was just really nice that week before the wedding to really just be focused on details that she might not be a part of, like family, coordinating travel and, you know, last minute hotel snafus and little things that are going to come up that you need to be focused on, and allowing the coordinator to deal with all that other stuff.
Yeah, that sounds so helpful. I think for our listeners especially, I'll say it again. I say it every time it comes up, but there is not a wedding planner in the room right now. they are so worth it. And I think your example is such a perfect illustration of it's not even so much the things you know they do. It's all the stuff that they keep off of your radar mm-hmm. on your wedding day and the stress that comes with that and just not having to deal with that, not having to say, okay, we need to have food at our wedding, so let's put a plan together and figure this out. My goodness, talk about something that's going to take you out of that wedding day headspace.
Yeah, I will say for a coordinator that, you know, the company that we initially interviewed that we were really interested in using, the first person that we met with, not a good personality fit for us. I would say the personality of your wedding coordinator and someone who truly gets what you're trying to accomplish. Like for us, somebody who was overly bubbly and loves a traditional wedding that's gigantic and, you know, big poofy white dress never would have been a good fit for us.
Right.
But Chelsea, she completely understood that we wanted a wedding that didn't feel like a wedding and that we were going very, you know, non-traditional and was very down to earth and had a nice sarcastic, witty nature that just really fit well with us. And so I feel like we had such a wonderful working relationship because she could relate. And I would say, you know, the ladies that I've spoken with who have not really appreciated or enjoyed their coordinator is because they didn't have that personality fit up front.
Interesting. We always talk about sort of the dichotomy of wedding planners, where on the one hand, they need to be kind of type A and list oriented and meticulous. And, you know, I'm going to make the timeline and I'm going to make the spreadsheet with everybody's contact information. But at the same time, there's somebody that you want to hang out with. They need to be somebody that you can spend time with and connect to, who is going to have the warmth and flexibility and humor to take care of stuff for you when that truck does break down with all of your delicious empanadas. Yeah. What are you going to do? Gavin, you know, we talked sort of about the groom stereotypes, and I really appreciate you being here because, you know, the guys do tend to be a little bit more absent during the whole planning process. And I will say that anytime we had a meeting or an event, the two of you were there together, which is always a wonderful, nice sign. I'm curious if you have a piece of advice specifically for the grooms out there who are listening or who are maybe going to hear this secondhand. What's your big takeaway now that you're a husband and not just a groom?
Well, first off, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. So the first thing that I would say is it's really easy to sit on the sideline. You can easily just sit there and let your wife-to-be take over and do all the planning and everything like that.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. It's just no work for us. But definitely step in. Definitely have your opinion. Definitely let them know what you're thinking as well. For me, I could sit on the sideline a little bit more than probably what I should have, because my wife, Elizabeth, we're pretty close in what we like very, very close. And so I knew what she would pick would be exactly something that I would want.
Aw, you too.
Except for the suit.
At the suit, I went with a custom suit, and to me, that was a very good choice.
He's already even gotten a chance to repeat it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's one of the perks of going with a suit, right? Mm-hmm. Love it. Elizabeth, for the bride-to-be who is listening enviously, thinking about how much she wants to get to the end of this and get her party on, what is your real-life experience tip for her?
I would say don't forget to be in the moment. You know, we as brides especially spend so much time being wrapped up in what it's going to look like and how it's going to come together. And we stress about every little detail, or maybe you don't stress, but then the day comes and then you start stressing, whatever that looks like. Just don't forget to really enjoy the day, because in a blink, literally in a blink, it is gone and it is over. And you're waking up, you know, a week later and you're like, oh my gosh, it's gone. And I think, you know, just having that ability to just kind of like enjoy, you know, breathe in the fresh air or look around and actually see, like, enjoy your venue. Like, you took all this time to think about all these little details. Go soak it in. Like, take the time. You know, what I really, really appreciated about my wedding coordinator is when I actually arrived at the venue, before she had me get ready, before she had me do anything, she asked me to just walk the venue and just look at it. And she said, now don't make changes, because she's like, I know you, Elizabeth, I know what you're trying to do. Don't make changes, but just look around. And I'm so glad I did that, because I got to actually look and say, oh my gosh, like, this is how the flowers came together. And this is how the chairs and the sashes came together. I mean, I actually got to see my own vision. And I'm so glad I did that, because the minute the wedding really started, I mean, it was time to get ready for the ceremony and we're taking pictures and this, that, and the other. Had I not taken the time to look around beforehand, I would have missed it all. Because you get, you kind of get in this mode, right? Now you're following this, like, minute by minute itinerary. And I'm just, I'm really glad that I had a couple minutes to really enjoy and just really take it in. Because if I hadn't, I think I would look back and not even remember certain things.
Yeah. Well, I think there's valuable advice there too for everybody who's planning right now and listening. You can maybe make an effort to build that block of time in, or say, yeah, when I get there, I just need some unhurried time to walk the grounds, or, you know, maybe that's something that's structured later in the day. But I'm so glad that you had that. And I think, yeah, it's a really valuable tip there. Well, thank you both. It was such a treat to get to have you come in and chat, and I'm just so immeasurably happy for both of you. I'm pretty sure that everybody listening can kind of deduce how sweet and well-paired the two of you are. But, you know, from our side, you were such an easygoing and positive couple to team up with, and we're all looking forward to keeping up with you as your marriage brings you to new adventures.
Yes.
What just happened? It won't be long before you find yourself asking that same question when, just as Gavin and Elizabeth made it through the gauntlet, you'll be looking back upon instead of forward to your wedding day. We've got some fun links for you to check out to help make that transition from fiancé to newlywed over on this episode guide. Be sure to take a peek at that over at engagedandconfused.love. While you're there, you can take a sec to shoot us your questions or share your brilliant episode ideas for upcoming installments. Thanks for listening to What Just Happened, Episode 4. Join us next time for Episode 5, Shot Through the Heart, Part 1. For the rest of the team at From the Hip, I'm Danny. Thanks for listening and happy planning.